The movie Selma opens tomorrow. It's the story of the marches that led to the passage of the Voting Rights Act in 1965. Critic Bob Mondello is not alone in noting that protests over the killing of unarmed black men make Selma especially timely.
An African-American woman named Annie Lee Cooper approaches a white registrar near the start of Selma, and he does not seem pleased to see her.
You work for Mr. Dunn down at the rest home, ain't that right?
Yes, sir.
Wonder what old Dunn will say when I tell him one of his gals down here stirring a fuss.
I ain't stirring no fuss. I'm just here trying to register to vote.
In 1964, Selma, Alabama has more black residents than white ones, but the voting rolls are almost entirely white. We're about to find out why.
Recite the Constitution's preamble. You know what a preamble is?
She does. She has prepared.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union.
How many county judges in Alabama?
Her eyes widen.
67.
His eyes narrow.
Name them.
With a satisfied smirk at her dismay, he picks up a rubber stamp and does what clerks across the South have done many times. He stamps her registration form, rejected. It is against this background that Martin Luther King Jr. arrives in Selma. His mostly unsuccessful registration drives in Georgia had received little media coverage because the authorities there had met nonviolent protests with nonviolence. Alabama, under Governor George Wallace, has a less sunny reputation, and when King is knocked down on his arrival in town...
Dr. King!
...by a white supremacist's punch...
I tell you, that white boy can hit.
He knows he's come to the right place for a confrontation. And with a county sheriff who's eager to give it to him, he sets about the task of rallying supporters.
As long as I am unable to exercise my constitutional right to vote, I do not have command of my own life.
Actor David Oyelowo mostly makes King quietly persuasive, a practical planner behind the scenes, but give him a crowd and he's magnetic.
Those that have gone before us say, no more, no more. Protest, that means march, that means disturb the peace, that means jail.
It's probably smart of director Ava DuVernay not to resort to King's oratory too often, but it's certainly rousing when she does.
Give us the vote! That's
right. Elsewhere, the movie is mostly about King's strategizing. What will get the feds involved, how best to attract news coverage, how to capitalize on it when it comes. DuVernay also lets you in on what this momentous confrontation's other players were thinking. President Lyndon Johnson is annoyed at King's pushing because he's anxious to get on to his war on poverty.
Dr. King, this thing's just going to have to wait.
It cannot wait.
You got one big issue, I got 101.
Governor Wallace is calculatingly vicious in opposition.
We will not tolerate agitators attempting to orchestrate a disturbance in this state.
Coretta Scott King is concerned, but pragmatic in support.
People actually say they're going to kill our children. They're trying to get inside of your head.
That all four of these very Southern icons are played by British performers testifies to a skill with accents that's pretty impressive, but no more impressive than the way DuVernay has crafted the film's smaller moments so that they lend power and emotion to its big set pieces, the marches. Three in all across Selma's Edmund Pettus Bridge that effectively started the clock ticking for the passage of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. In a few weeks, we'll reach the 50th anniversary of those marches, an anniversary that comes amid renewed racial friction and a year and a half after the Supreme Court struck down a key provision of that very Voting Rights Act. The film's timing, in short, could hardly be more resonant, and DuVernay's most remarkable accomplishment may be that with such passion-inspiring material, she has made such a measured, resolute, and level-headed film. I'm Bob Mondello.